7:07.
Okay, yeah.
Date is Tuesday, February 14th, 2006. Present is Representative Lynn, Thomas, Wilson, and Chair Newman. Also present is Representative Eric Croft and Representative Ramirez. Let the record reflect, we do have a quorum. Today we'll be taking up the following legislation. We're going to start out with House Bill 387, tuition waivers for National Guard families, and House Bill 412, tuition waivers for military, police, and fire. We'll begin with 387. Representative Ramirez, did you have any? Representative Thomas?
May I move the CS first?
Please, sir.
I move CS 387 version slash I. And you want to do the, we have an amendment to this too.
Okay, would you like to offer that amendment at this time?
Yes, I'll move amendment number one. This says that the Department of Military Veterans Affairs will be responsible for paying of the tuition.
Thank you.
Okay, and this would be titled amendment I.2 because there was a previous amendment offered. Draft version I. Two.
And then with that, I'll have my staff go from there.
Thank you, Representative Thomas. Casey, please state your name and for the record.
For the record, I'm Casey Schroeder,
hi,
staff, Representative Thomas. Mr. Chairman, would you like me to explain the change
that we're going to use to you? No.
Would you like me to explain it to
you? Please, Casey. Do we have? Do all the members have a copy of the CS?
Mm-hmm. It should be right over there. Maybe not.
So, Mr. Chairman, basically the CS is the same as the original bill, except it adds a new section which allows all members of the Alaska National Guard to get free hunting and fishing licenses. And we worked with Representative Croft's office on this bill, and they worked on the education portion of the bill, and we worked on the hunting and fishing portion of the bill. So I'll let Mandy explain the education portion of the bill.
So the entire purpose of the bill is
Mandy, could you please state your name and who you represent for the record?
Starting.
In training.
For the record, my name is Amanda Norris. I'm staff to Representative Croft through the internship program through the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Thank you. Please present your discussion on the bill.
Okay. So the general purpose of this bill is to provide support to the Alaska National Guard and their families. The education portion that we worked so hard on, in general terms, is to provide education to the Guard's members and their families, mainly to improve their quality of life and create wonderful job skills that they need to make their lives better and continue on through Alaska and be happy people, I guess. On the books already, we have tuition assistance programs for Alaska National Guard members. The problem with those is that we're not fully funding them through the legislature. Guardsmen are getting turned away every year and not getting the funding they need to continue their education. We kind of promised them an education, so the bill, you know, intends to fix that problem. While we're fixing that problem, we're adding a 50% tuition waiver for the dependents. There are benefits for our soldiers, our Alaska National Guardsmen, but there's not a benefit for their family at this point. And I think it's, and we feel that it's time to start paying attention to the family and giving them something for taking, you know, being a part of that family and caring for their loved one and supporting them. So, and it's important to do that before our soldiers go overseas and die. It's time to pay attention before something terrible happens to those families.
Thank you, Casey and Amanda. We also have I'll open it up for questions from the committee. Representative Guerra is also here for the record. We have the sponsors of the bill, Thomas and Croft, asked the committee members, I guess we can just open it up if we need to go to those folks for questions, too. I'm going to start the questions. Is there a minimum grade point average that will continue with tuition assistance on this?
It's actually listed in the program. It should say... a student in good standing, and that's defined in law as a 2.0 GPA.
Okay, same as like a Pell Grant then?
Yes.
Okay, there are currently about 3,600 guard members. Do you have any idea how many students or dependents this is going to affect?
We actually don't. The only way to be able to find that number is to send out a survey to every single guard member, and as we all know, return rates on surveys of that sort are not good.
Okay, and just for the committee's information, we do have Sarah Gilbertson from Fish and Game online. So if we have any questions that has to do with the amount of the cost of hunting and fishing licenses, she can speak to that. If the sponsor. Yeah, Representative Wilson, did you have a question?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, that was part of it. We have 2-0 fiscal notes, but not from the departments that would be noticing a difference. The university has a 0 fiscal note because 50% of the money would come from post-secondary education, so we don't have an education fiscal note, and we don't have a fish and game fiscal note. Is that being looked at? Or, I mean, haven't got it to you yet? Or?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I do know that we requested a fiscal note from the Department of Fish and Game, but since that addition was in a CS, I don't know if they had that as a high priority to give us one in time for the meeting.
For the committee, we do have Mary Gower from the University of Alaska. Mary, can you answer those questions? Are you there?
I'm here, and there was a beep on the phone, so I wasn't able to hear the question.
Representative Wilson?
The university gave us a 0 fiscal note, but the analysis says this bill would have no fiscal impact on the university, assuming that the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education continues to fund 50% of the tuition waivers for eligible National Guard members as it currently does. So evidently, they currently do this, and so maybe they wouldn't expect any more. I don't know.
Well, the change that was made from Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education over to Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, the impact or the payment would not be coming from the university. It would be coming from the Department of Military and Veteran Affairs. So the impact on the university would be a 0 fiscal.
Okay, but all right. So we have from Military and Veterans Affairs, we say they don't have fiscal impact. Somebody's going to have to make up that difference.
Correct. And my understanding was that change to this was made this morning, so I don't know if it was a matter of timing.
Okay.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative Thomas?
It's not a question, it's a comment in regards to the bill and how they were drafted and all. This is the first time, I believe, that the National Guard has been deployed in being sent to Iraq or into a combat zone. I know that if I was had the position to volunteer for the service, I wouldn't join because of combat. I was in combat before, and I didn't re-enlist for it. I did not like it. And so this is, and the man to my left is giggling because we're both there, and we're talking about in Vietnam. And so the reason for these incentives are to try to get people to join the Guard at the same time advancing their family's education and also giving them the latitude, similar to the governor's bill, of being able to go out and get peace and quiet by hunting or fishing and get a little solitude. Those of us who'd been in combat when we came home, that's what you look for. And I think this is a good language, and the governor's had good language, but I think he didn't go far enough, because I think that if you're in the Guard, and you're not in Iraq yet, but you know you're going to go, because I think we're going to activate 1,000 here in the next month or so, it would be nice to have them be able to go out and fish and hunt, knowing that this is going to happen, or going off to combat. And so that's how we came about it. And fortunately, that the representative to my left, Eric, and I were had the same ideas, so we just kind of melted everything together here with a CS, and hopefully the committee will see it and go forward. And I do see we have somebody from the Guard here, and I think it's a good way to support our Guard. I mean, you know, Representative Lynn and I know what it's like not being supported.
Well, I might make a point that combat does include hunting.
Representative Croft, the chair would entertain any comments you may have to this bill as a co-sponsor on this.
Well, I really appreciate your time, Mr. Chairman, the time of the committee, and Representative Thomas's work on it. We had two good ideas, and we decided to put them together, and we thank the committee for their time. I think it's important that we honor our National Guard soldiers and their families who are doing a very difficult job for us.
Representative Lynn?
I've always been disturbed by the fact that people are promised them to get into the National Guard and to get there, and then they don't have money to go to college. It's a breach of faith, really. Almost, I suppose, my attorney's on my left here, almost a breach of contract. And I'm glad to see this in here.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I think this is a real good bill, and I'm glad that it includes the families, because the families give up so much, especially if they get called into combat. It's an absolute a commitment to the family, too. It's not just the person that's going, but the family that's left. You know, they gave up so much, and maybe forever. You know, and so I think this is great. It also gives them, if they can't afford it, now maybe they can do something that will keep them busy, so it helps them keep their minds off of some of the things that are that they're having to, that they're worrying about all the time. So.
Okay, we'll do a little more public testimony here. Online we have Sarah Gilbertson. Sarah, would you like to state your name and affiliation?
Sure. For the record, this is Sarah Gilbertson, Special Assistant to the Commissioner at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Good morning. I haven't seen the CS that you have before you, and I cannot speak on behalf of the administration regarding the entire bill, but I did speak to Representative Thomas this morning regarding at least the hunting and fishing portion of the bill. And just by way of background, yesterday the governor introduced House Bill 451 and Senate Bill 286. And basically, those bills give complimentary hunting and fishing licenses to those Alaska National Guard troops returning from combat overseas. And we estimate that there are about 300 of those troops returning annually, and that would cost the Alaska Department of Fish and Game about $5,000 a year. So we're happy to see that similar language is gaining momentum, but I just wanted to point out two differences, if I may. The first is intent. The governor's bills basically give these complimentary licenses to those returning from combat with the hope that, you know, they can return to nature and find some relaxation and some peace and quiet in hunting and fishing. And I believe that the CS or the amendment that you have before you is the intention of Representative Thomas is that it's a recruiting measure. It's something that would encourage folks to join the Guard. So there's a difference in intent between the governor's bill and the bill that you have before you. And then with regard to the fiscal questions, we did not do a fiscal note because once, if this is adopted into this bill and the CS moves out of this committee, we'll then be asked to do a fiscal note. And just using the same rationale that we did to put together the fiscal note on the governor's bill, this bill would cost the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, if you were to give every Alaska National Guard member a complimentary hunting and fishing license, would cost us about $18,000 to $20,000 annually. So it's really a policy call on behalf of this committee, on behalf of the legislature, whether or not you want to use this as a recruiting measure or to basically honor those who are returning from combat, and then also the question of how much the Fish and Game, the Department of Fish and Game, takes in terms of a loss in their budget. So I just wanted to raise those issues. Once again, I'm happy to see that everyone is so supportive of our National Guard troops, and we are too. But I'm happy to answer any questions and just wanted to point those out.
Thank you, Sarah. Sarah, First, let me say that we have been joined by Representative Salmon, and Gatto is also here. I don't know if we recognized him earlier. But Sarah spoke a little bit earlier about the governor's bill. That's House Bill 451 that does issue complimentary fishing and hunting license tags to National Guard folks. Do we have any questions for Sarah?
Maybe.
Representative Thomas?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, we had discussed all the bills previously, and the reason I'm going forward and again is with this CS is because I don't know if any of you have looked at the books that are Tears from Iraq, or if you look at the stories that they run every once in a while, some of those guys come home without legs. How are you going to go out there and enjoy fishing when you come home? Or you lose an arm and maybe, you know, to me it's wrong. I think we should benefit, give them the benefit up front. I mean, it's really sad to, you know, I watch the news all the time and they show it. I think it's simple, it's nice. $18,000, if I had it, if I wasn't working here now, I'd pay for it myself. If I was still a lobbyist, maybe I can get lobbyists to pay for it, but I think it's cheap.
An amendment?
Oh, yeah. I haven't had a friend of mine lose a leg yet, but I tell you, and if he was if you're born and raised in Alaska, an avid fish and hunter, I think being impaired makes a lot of difference, but he's, you know, you're not doing the same as he did, so that's one of the reasons. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Thomas. Do we have any more questions for Casey and Amanda? Thank you. You can step down. At this time, we'll go to our audience. We've got Roger Morrison. Please state your name and affiliation.
Sergeant First Class Roger Morrison. I'm a recruiter with the Alaska Army National Guard here in Juneau, Alaska.
Mr. Morrison, what is your opinion of this bill?
When you look at both sides of the bill, the hunting and fishing bill is very important. Me and the young lady was just talking back there in the back. Not everybody's going to hunt and fish, of course. And not everybody in the Alaska National Guard, Air and Army side, is going to be deployed. There's a lot of positions in the state of Alaska that will never see combat at all. So you look at those people that are going to combat and coming back, they're the only one that is going to get that incentive. And what we're looking at as well is incentives to get people to join the Alaska Army National Guard. Other states throughout have this deal where they get hunting and fishing license. As long as you're in the National Guard and serving, you get every year you will get a hunting and fishing license. And it's just a good recruiting tool. And it's a good, sure, it's a reward tool, but I think, just like Representative Thomas said, it ought to be something that they get before they go. If they know they're going to be deployed, they can use this, they can go out, they can start getting ready for what's coming up, what's going to happen for the next year out of their life. And then when we get into the educational part of it, the Alaska Army National Guard, we talk that we have 100% of the tuition covered. Well, as Manny just said, a lot of times not everybody gets funded. Not everybody's going to get funded on that particular bill. So that part of it is really a great thing to make sure everybody that is serving is going to get 100% funded. That's a great thing. And then when you talk about the spouses and you talk about especially the spouses, their husband, their wife, maybe opposite. A lot of times it's opposite where the female is serving. And it's the father or the husband is doing something else. When you have that, and that guy is getting, the soldier is getting all the benefits. The wife, the husband, whoever is sitting at the house, sitting back, taking care of the family, doing what needs to be done. These guys are off training. They go to basic training. They go to annual training. They go to combat. There's a lot of various places that these individuals go, and they're left back by themselves. And they're not getting a single thing in return for it. Not getting nothing. And then when it comes time that, okay, you got to make your mind up. Say if you just enlisted for 3 or 6 years, when your commitment's up, you got to sit down, and you go sit down with your significant other, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to say, well, do I want to stay in or do I not want to stay in? Of course, we want everybody to stay in. We don't want anybody to get out. We would love for everybody to do 20 years. And who's going to really make that decision? The wife or the husband, whoever, vice versa, is going to sit there and say, well, you know, you're gone so much. The kids are missing you. I'm missing you. You could be gone again. And I'm really not getting nothing. Paycheck comes home. That's all fine and well. But I'm not getting nothing. And if the spouse is getting just a little something, 50% of the tuition covered, that's pretty significant. It really is. And the spouse on either side is going to look at that and say, well, I am getting something in return for you being away. And everybody that has served, I want to thank you for that, but you got the spouse is a very important part of it. You couldn't go off to a combat zone if you wasn't 100, you and your spouse wasn't 100% committed. You don't need those distractions back home. That's one thing that you don't. You don't need that. You need 100% commitment all the way around. And for just the little bit that we are asking here, it would solve and it would really help out 100%. It would help the guard out, which is the state. The National Guard is the state of Alaska. And that's pretty much all what I have on that.
Thank you, Sergeant Morrison. And I think that I can safely state, not just for myself, but for the members of this committee, thank you for what you do for our country.
Thank you.
Representative Gatto.
Thanks. Sarge, you're the recruiter, you said?
Yes, sir.
Are we meeting recruitment goals? And then I'd like you to just, if you can tell me how it compares to pre-Iraq recruitment goals and successes. In other words, are we doing as well as we did before Iraq?
We are doing as well as, you know, but before Iraq, you never heard the numbers. You never heard anything about the numbers. Of course, when the war started nationwide, recruitment was what is down. We got a printout this morning. I have it in my bag there that the colonel sent down to me. The National Guard is doing extremely well nationwide. We are meeting our goals as of right now.
Okay.
So to say, is it sure it's slacked off as well as everybody knows because of the war? It has slacked off, but we are trying to build it back up with new incentives that are coming along. We're trying little things here and there to try to get that recruitment up.
I guess just to go back to the first part, compared to pre-Iraq, did you meet your recruitment goals prior to Iraq? Or was that also similar to now?
Well, you know, I wasn't recruiting then. So I was a readiness NCO, and from what I remember and what I recall, we struggle every year. It's been a struggle. So I couldn't give you an accurate number if we were exceeding or just meeting our goals. I couldn't tell you that, sir. I could definitely find that information out, but I don't have that with me, and I don't have it at the top of my head.
I think it's safe to say that you could use this extra tool if you had it in your bag.
Anything helps, sir.
Representative Salmon?
Yes, I have kind of a two question, but I'll try to put it in one if I can. About 10 years ago, the Alaska Natives in the National Guards were, in effect, being discriminated because they can't move up in rank and... That's one of the questions. And since then, I noticed, well, they were saying that the amount of Alaska Native being enlisted is going down. And how is that number at this time?
Honestly, I spent 8 years up in Kotzebue, and the numbers, I don't see that. I honestly don't see that happening. The Alaska Natives in the Southeast, I've enlisted more Alaska Natives in the Southeast than I have anybody else. And that's speaking straight from me. Now, if they were ever discriminated against, I never seen it. Everybody that joins the National Guard or the Air National Guard has the same opportunities as anybody else. We do have what you call the Alaska Scout Waiver, which is for Alaska Natives. That gives them the opportunity to come on board.
Representative Salmon?
Just kind of a little short follow-up here. Several I remember back in the early days, say about 60s, and there's a National Guard was made up of a lot of the Alaskan natives, and I was kind of wondering, is that trend still there, or, I mean, what's the trend like? That was the second part of the question.
When you get to the outlining areas, the trend is still there. And we are making a big recruitment right now, recruitment move, to increase the numbers even more than what they are now. When you get into Anchorage, of course, it's not going to be mostly Alaska Natives. It's going to be people that are moving to Alaska, say from another state. As well as everybody knows, like I always say, Anchorage is the fastest growing village in the state. Everybody is moving to Anchorage, and that happens a lot when from the outlying villages. They are moving into Anchorage as well. So the Alaska Native population in the Guard is still extremely high. Bethel is outstanding, and we are making a big recruitment drive now. The general is making it a point to hit all 73 locations on the outlying areas to make sure for as a big recruitment drive.
Representative Lynn.
Yes, thank you. Just a point, unless I'm missing something in this bill, as I understand it, is about tuition waivers and hunting and fishing license. It has nothing to do with alleged discrimination or non-discrimination. It's about tuition, and it's about free hunting license for our National Guard, and these other considerations are off topic.
Thank you, Representative Lynn. Representative Guerra.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
I want to make sure I understand how the bill is going to work, and so I have a couple questions about active duty service. First of all, if you're active duty guard, does that mean you have a chance of being deployed, or are there active duty members who would know that they wouldn't ever be deployed to a place like Iraq or Afghanistan?
And AGR, which is what I am, is active guard reserve. That means you're a full-time National Guardsman. Okay, you can be deployed anytime that they want you. They can pull you and deploy you. When I was saying there's positions that are non-deployable, that ground missile defense is prime example right there. That is a non-deployable unit right there, and it's up in Delta Junction. It is extremely run by National Guardsmen only. And they are AGRs, which is Active Guard Reserve.
So there's some them and maybe some other classes, or just are they the only active duty folks who wouldn't have to worry about the prospect of being deployed?
There's a few up in Anchorage that are in. You could always volunteer or do whatever.
And then what's the term that's used for somebody who's a part-time guard member who serves during weekends, then is deployed, but then comes back and after the deployment is over is serving weekends again? Are they active duty in all three capacities, or are they only active duty during the deployment?
They go from a, which we call a traditional guardsman, is 1 week in a month, 2 weeks out of the year. So you're looking at 39 days total. And then whenever you get activated or mobilized, whatever term you want to use, that means you go active duty at that point on. So those guys that got activated and were deployed, they were deployed for 16 months, somewhere around there. They were active duty that whole time. And then when they come back, they go back to the traditional guards way. They go back to their civilian jobs and just show up 1 week in a month and 2 weeks out of the year.
Thank you. That's actually very important information, because what I would want would be if you were a part-time guard member but then deployed to Iraq and then you come back, I still would want your family members to get the 50% tuition waiver even when you got back, because you've served. And the way the bill's written right now, you'd only be entitled to the 50% reduction during the time you were being deployed, and it would end when you got back, I think. So I might be wrong about that, but I think we have to work on the bill a little bit to make sure that everybody's covered.
Okay, sir.
Thanks.
Would the sponsor like to speak to that?
Rick?
Because it says, and maybe we can ask Sergeant Morrison, on page 1, line 11, spouse or child of an active member of the Alaska National Guard. We copied the language that was used in the original tuition waiver. Do you think that would through the chair, do you think that would limit it as Representative Guerra was worried, or would that include, is the term active going to mean only deployed or in good stand, you know, a member of the Guard, just general?
I think we can ask Sergeant Morrison. In my opinion, an active member is an active member.
Right. As long as you're in good standings and you show up for your 1 week in a month and you're making, National Guard goes by points for retirement. As long as you're showing up for your 1 week in a month and your annual training and you're in good standings with the National Guard and you're getting your points, that is what I consider an active guardsman who is actively drilling, actively participating and doing what he needs to be doing.
And then the term you used that was deployment, sorry, is active.
What I was meaning, we have full-time positions, right. And maybe I misunderstood what he was asking, but in the National Guard there are also full-time positions that you do every day, which is AGR, which is Active Guard Reserve.
We'll check, Mr. Chairman, but I think for now that accomplishes the purpose we want, and it's different from Active Guard
Reserve. Yes, it is.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Guerra.
Thanks, and I'll ask the sponsor because I want to make sure that we cover everybody we want to cover. Do you intend to extend the benefit to family members of part-time Guard members who aren't deployed also? And that's fine if you do. I just want to understand if you do. And then, so definitely people who are full-time active, also people who are part-time active, and is that the intention?
The intent is to take care of them because they don't know if you're going to get sent over again. Being active in the Army back in the 60s, not everybody went to Vietnam, but they're still recognized as Vietnam-era vets.
Thanks. I'm going to leave to the sponsor then for you to take a look at the definition of active in the statute to make sure it's all covered.
They're on it.
Roger.
Do we have any other questions from the committee for Sergeant Morrison? Representative Salmon?
I have one more question. How many National Guard is in the state of Alaska at this time?
You look, the Air Guard and the Army Guard both have approximately the same. I can't give you a pinpointed number. You're looking at about 1,850 on both sides.
Thank you, Sergeant Morrison. Any more questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Dan Barrett, Barrett?
Barrett.
Barrett?
Barrett. Executive Director.
Please state your name and affiliation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Diane Barrett. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education. And essentially today, the adoption of the CS would resolve the technical issue that I had raised with the sponsor's staff. But I do want to make it clear, it sounded from what Representative Wilson said was described in one of the zero fiscal notes, that post-secondary ed had some funding mechanism in place for this. And this is not a program that we administer. It's not under our statutory purview, and we have never funded this program.
Yeah.
And leave.
Representative Gatto.
Executive Director, how long have you been the Executive Director?
This will be my 11th year.
Okay. And just for the record, I serve on the same committee with Ms. Behrens, and she's just such an outstanding executive director that I would just like to put it on the record that certainly have my appreciation for your work.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Diane? Representative Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Diane, if this bill passed, and as it is, as the language is now, what would that mean as far as fiscal notes somewhere? I mean, the money's got to come from somewhere. So, you know, so if it's not
commission.
Yeah, if it's not your commission's area to take care of it, where would it be?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, it's my understanding, and I have not seen the CS, but the CS suggests that the appropriation would occur through the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. I would just estimate that with the addition of the room and board expenses and the 50% tuition that at an individual beneficiary level, you would be looking at a benefit of, based on a standard budget at the University of Alaska, perhaps about $15,000 a year. And I can get back to you on what that is. But there is a standard budget for room and board, as well as the amount of the 50% of tuition.
Do we have any more questions for Mrs. Moran? Thank you. I believe that completes our list of people that would like to testify on this, but I will ask one more time, is there any members of the audience or in the LIOs that would like to testify on behalf of House Bill 387? Seeing and hearing none, is there any more committee discussion on this bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Guerra.
Yeah, and I don't know if I can offer the amendment, but this is what I want to state on the record. I support the bill, and I'm going to vote for the bill for the reasons that have been stated. I think the community has an obligation to extend a special hand where it's deserved, and this is one of those areas where it's deserved. There are other areas where it's deserved. Sometimes we push the legislation that the public's going to notice, and we don't push the legislation that the public's not going to notice. There have been a few efforts, my effort, Representative McGuire's effort, some others, who have said we also should provide tuition assistance to foster children. You'd have a hard time finding another group of society that has faced greater obstacles than those who come through our foster care system. But, you know, if we tell you the truth, I have a provision in one of my bills that would provide free tuition and room and board for foster children. Representative McGuire has a similar provision in one of her bills. The truth is that foster children aren't organized. The truth is that we don't get a lot of constituent mail from foster children as an organized interest group. They're a silent, large segment of the population. So there's nobody here demanding that foster children be added to this bill or that a similar benefit be provided to them. But I think if things were the way they should be, there would be a group like that saying that. So I'm considering an amendment that would extend the same benefit that we're going to extend to the people who are sacrificing their lives and sacrificing their families, also to another group of society that I think we have an obligation to, and that's people born with less privilege, less opportunity, less chance than almost anybody else in society. And I would like to see tuition assistance offered to foster children. So I've got an amendment drafted that's sitting in front of you that would provide also the half tuition waiver for children who come through the foster care system, and I guess I'd like to hear people's views on it. It's probably not going to get us any votes to add it in because, like I said, they're not an organized group, but
not the title.
Yeah. Representative Guerra, I think that's not this amendment. You can offer any amendment you like. It's a conceptual amendment. I don't know if the other members of the committee have seen this. If it's completely germane to the Alaska National Guard and where we're going on that, there is several bills that I have talked to Representative McGuire and I have talked to you about, and we have discussed the scheduling of those bills, as you're aware, that deal with foster children, and we will get to those at a later date. But if you want to offer this amendment, offer it up and let the people talk about it.
If I have a commitment that we're going to discuss the issue of tuition assistance to foster children in this committee, then I don't need to attach it to this bill. You know, we're 5 weeks into the session, and haven't had a chance to talk about it. But
Representative Guerra, would you like to offer this amendment?
Sure.
Okay. It's Please speak to your amendment.
Object, yeah.
Do you have an objection?
I don't have an objection.
Oh, you do.
Representative Thomas objects?
No. The amendment does exactly what I said it would do.
Representative Wilson?
Les, do you have any idea how many, is this just the ones that are now in foster care, or does that mean anybody that has been in foster care? And what are those numbers?
It would be now in foster care or released after you're age 17. And I don't have the number, Representative Wilson.
You know,
Representative Wilson.
You know, I support you in philosophy because, you know, those kids really needed a break, you know. So I do that. But Ms. Behrens has said that it's approximately 15,000 a year, and we don't know the numbers, and I'm afraid that that would burden this bill down, and I don't want to jeopardize the bill because of that. So, you know, I think it'd be good if it might be wise to withdraw your amendment and try to see if we can get it heard another time, because it's a very good cause, too.
Sure. And, Mr. Chair, I think what I'm going to do is make another point and withdraw the amendment. The other point is, you know, we can come up with 100 different groups that are deserving of some assistance. And the problem we have right now is we have a very underfunded university financial aid system. And what we really should be doing is providing financial aid to anybody who needs it. A recent report from the university says we're about $3 million short in that system. We provide the least amount of money per capita of any other state to help people go to college. And I think that would be the most comprehensive solution. There's also proposed legislation on that issue. So I'm going to withdraw the amendment, Mr. Chair. And I hope we can talk about these things.
Representative Gatto?
Just curious on your statement. Are you including money available through the student loan program, as to say we're very low on the list of supporting our students with education money at the university?
The national statistics on needs-based financial assistance, I think, is grant money. And we provide less grant money than any other state in the country. I appreciate what the university has done recently, and they've started a needs-based financial aid system. We never had one. As of 2 years ago, we didn't have one at all, and they started one, but I think we can do a lot better.
The amendment has been withdrawn. Is there anybody else that would like to speak on this bill? Representative Pratt?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to address Representative Wilson's question on money. I think it's an appropriate one. And may I do that? You've asked twice now, where's the money going to come from? And I think we always need to be aware of that in the legislature. This is a page that I think you do have in your pocket where we ask similar questions on money and the underfunding to the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. It gives a history of some of the funding of this program back to 2002, and in particular in FY06, and part of what was the spur for this bill was you can see the shortfall in 06, and you can see by some of the footnotes where we were turning away guardsmen. That was part of the impetus for this bill. But the general answer to the question is it's about a $400,000 program. And the FY06 200 number, it's not as though that program fell in half. That's about halfway. We have numbers about halfway through that fiscal year. We're sitting here in January of an 06 fiscal year, so it looks like we're on par for about 400 guardsmen taking advantage of this program each year. It's fluctuated some, but 400 to 500, and at a cost for the total program of about $400,000. We wanted to make sure that that obligation was fully funded so that no guardsman was turned away. And I think the zero fiscal note you've seen is an indication that they're going to keep the current program, and they wanted to fund it and they expected to fund it, and there'd just been this underfunding, and they didn't know whether they should come up for a supplemental or just cut people off in the middle of the year. We're making it clear that they should fund it. On the 50% for spouses, it's just very hard to estimate, and maybe we'll work with the department to get a more accurate fiscal note. I'm not sure quite how they do that. You might, if that 400 number of guardsmen who take advantage of this is some indication, and
then maybe another 200 spouses are doing this at 50%. I don't know.
Thank you, Representative Kraft. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Eric, if 26 Guard members were already denied in this past year, then, and that's what, number three anyway, that shows that in there. I can't follow this page right here quite for sure, but anyway, my paper says 26 Guard members were denied due to lack of funding, totally $29,500 for tuition reimbursement. So that tells me that unless there's somewhere where we're going to get more money, even if we pass this, none of this will really happen. Is that correct?
We're going to make a department faced with a program where people come in and ask for a service and a discrete amount of funding where we estimate at the beginning, okay, here's $300,000 or $400,000. We think that will accommodate your program. A department like that, and we face it all through state budget, and you do in HES, can either have the understanding that they cut off the program when the money's gone, or the understanding that they serve the qualified applicants who come before them and come back to us for that money. And as far as we can tell, there have been different interpretations over the years of what to do. Sometimes they've cut off the Guards members and said, no, we're just out of money. And sometimes they've asked for money to fill the hole. We want to make it clear that we wanted every eligible Guards member to get this benefit. And so we put in language that said, we're going to estimate it as best we can, but we want it fully funded, and we want you to come back and get the money for it. We think it'll stay in this $300,000 to $400,000 frame that it's been at for several years. But whatever it is, it's an obligation we have, and we want to fund it.
Representative Wilson.
Just follow up on that then. So what we're encouraging here, and I'm on three finance subcommittee budgets, and so I know what we're fighting with, and one of the biggest things is right now with state government, we're having a real hard time trying to find out where we're really at, because at the end of the year, after we've said this is how much the departments were going to spend, we get, this year we've got four supplemental budgets. So we, and so kind of the, what you're saying, if I understand you, is that you're saying that what's going to happen now is that instead of denying somebody, they'll probably will just pay it and then turn in a supplemental.
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I mean, we've served together for a long time. I don't like the size of this year's supplemental either. Yes, it is our intention that every qualified Guards member receive this benefit and they come back and get that money. I hope through the budget process we'll give them a number that will pretty closely reflect what they're actually going to pay and a good faith estimate of ours, but whatever it is, we deserve it. And unlike some programs that we've seen the growth of, this is a pretty well-defined population. It's hard to pretend that you're a Guards member if you're not. There are some categories of applicants where that might be a worry. I don't see it here. It's pretty provable whether you're a Guards member or not. And if they are, they ought to have the benefit.
I just want to make one statement. I think that it's a good bill, and I like it. I'm very concerned about where the money's coming from, but I'm going to let finance worry about that. So I'm
wise.
I don't have any
you.
Problem with this.
Representative Salmon.
Yes. The question I have is probably for more like the Department of Fish and Game. So I'll just kind of face it for the chairman here. Is the how does the Fish and Game feel on this bill here, especially on the free hunting and fishing license?
I believe they testified that Sarah Gilbertson from Fish and Game supported this. Sarah, are you still there?
Yes, Representative Newman, and through the chair to Representative Salmon. I did cover that in my testimony. Essentially, I pointed out two differences between the governor's bill and the one that you have before you, and that is both the intent and the fiscal notes. The governor's bill is would cost Fish and Game roughly $5,000 a year. The bill that you have before you would cost between $18,000 and $20,000. The governor's proposal would limit the complimentary fishing and hunting licenses to only those who served in combat and are returning home to Alaska, whereas the bill that you have before you would give complimentary hunting and fishing licenses to all Alaska National Guard members, so it's much broader.
Sarah, does Fish and Game support this bill? Yes or no?
Wow, guys.
Representative
Newman, you know, we support the language that's in the governor's bill. However, we are very excited to see that Representative Thomas and the committee is very interested in similar language.
That answer your question, Representative Salmon?
Is that the political answer?
Representative Gatto?
Yeah, it's a question for Representative Lynn. You know, it made me think the GI Bill, was that following World War II? Did that expire?
I believe it did. I went through college on the GI Bill. It took me halfway through my master's degree. It did expire. I think there's a Vietnam-era GI Bill, but I already had used mine. So I don't know anything about that. But that was a bill. Basically, it was a voucher system that worked quite well. Yet I got the voucher and went to any college that I wanted to.
And it said, you know, you guys went to war. We'd like to, when you come home, let you go to college.
That's correct.
And so this seems like a resumption.
Mini GI Bill.
Of
the Alaska
GI Bill.
GI Bill, and that's one of the reasons I would support it. Mm-hmm. The GI Bill was a godsend to me because I tried to go through college with a wife and three kids at that time. And mm-hmm. if I hadn't had the GI Bill, I could not have done it. But it took me halfway through my master's degree.
Thank you, Representative Lynn. Do we have any other questions for this committee? The committee discussion? Yes. What are the will of this committee?
Can I move my own bill?
That's self-serving.
Do you serve on this committee?
I'm just, I move that we move CS for House Bill 387, version/I from committee as amended. With individual recommendations and fiscal notes.
Hearing and seeing no objections, this checks. Representative Salmon.
The reason for the objections is because this bill is we'll have free hunting and fishing, and it seems to me like we're going to be stressing our resources in Alaska. You know, it's just, if you have a free license to go hunting, you'd go hunting, and if you didn't have it, you'd probably have to think twice about it. And to me, it's just. You know, we're talking about tuition, which is great, but then we add another section of it, which has nothing to do with education, and we go out, you know, and give them something other than education. I mean, that to me is kind of two-sided item. So that's the reason for my objection.
So, are you Representative Thomas? Would you want to speak to that?
Well, if he is objecting, then we have a vote.
You just call the roll.
That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah. Mr. Chair,
just
very briefly.
Representative Garrett.
Thank you. I think the importance for leaving it in is that the fiscal note is very minor, and I think the sponsor and some others made some good points about why the language should be a little bit broader than what's in the governor's bill. You want to provide it to people before they've been deployed and after. And I think the cost is minimal enough that we should probably add it in.
That question stated to me, or?
Oh, that's just my point.
Okay, clerk call the roll.
Representative Wilson?
Yes.
Representative Gatto?
Yes.
Representative Lynn?
Yes.
Representative Thomas?
Yes.
Representative
Guerra? No. Actually, I'm sorry. The
bill.
It's on the bill?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Representative Salmon?
No.
Chair Newman?
Yes.
So we have 6 yay, 1 nay.
Bill passes out of this committee at this time.
I'll do it.
I'm just thinking about resources and hunting and fishing.
Maybe this will come up with money. Maybe this bill will be done.
Thank you, guys.
Good job. I think this bill should have gone to
report. Hearing no further testimony on that one, let's go to House Bill 412. We chair would entertain a motion to move version.
You got a CS?
G. Do we have a CS on this?
It's the same. No, so it's a. I don't need to move that.
I don't have any. This is going to change us to 412.
Entertain a motion to move House Bill 412. Or no, we're not hearing that. Let's hear it. Representative Ramirez, would you please tell us about House Bill 412? Okay, we're having some technical problems over here. To clear stuff. Next, we'll be hearing House Bill 412, Tuition Waivers for Military, Police, and Fire, presented by Representative Ramirez and Jim Pound. Representative Ramirez.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you for having time for us today. My name is Jay Ramirez. I represent District 10 in Fairbanks, which is represented 55% by Fort Wainwright, 3,800 of whom are active duty military that are presently deployed to Iraq as part of the Striker Brigade. I'd like to discuss with you two things this afternoon very briefly. One is the merits of House Bill 412, and the second one is the very cynical fiscal note that's attached to it, which I'd like to take issue with. First of all, House Bill 412 goes to the issue of the fact that active duty military, National Guard, firemen, policemen, volunteer firemen that are lost in the line of duty presently enjoy tuition and fees by the university. Anybody who has gone to college or tried to put somebody through college recognizes that that is a significant portion of the burden, but certainly not the entire burden, and that room and board sometimes is an issue that will allow somebody to go to school or prevent them from getting an education. So HB 412 simply recognizes that many of our people, Alaskans, right now by where they keep their boots under their bed when they're not protecting our freedoms, are at risk. We have recently lost four National Guard members and three members from Fort Wainwright. Two of those people who have given their all to this country had children, and it would be very relevant in the given where we are today that we're at war. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, and then Mr. Chairman, if you care to address it, I'd be happy to talk about my concerns with the fiscal note.
Representative Gatto.
Thanks. Representative Ramirez, just a couple of things that I absolutely have to have clarified for me. On the bottom of page one, who died from an act arising out of or in the course of employment. So, if indeed...
What line?
Well, we're at the end of page one and the beginning of page two. Part A, employment as a peace officer or a firefighter. There's a lot of ramifications here. And I'm just trying to find out what your intent is, and then maybe we can clarify it. If I'm employed as a firefighter,
yes, sir,
and I'm off in Kansas quail hunting, and I have a heart attack.
With President.
Can I? That was an accident, sorry. Can I claim my heart attack as being the result of employment?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, I'm always grateful for your
Well, this is a situation that came up in the fire department at great length about what is covered, and we call it heart-lung clause.
I understand.
If indeed you're in plan one, then the heart-lung clause applied until you died. If you're in plan two, it applied for 7 years. In plan three, it may not have applied at all.
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, I appreciate your concerns and your questions. I'd like to remind you, for the benefit of the committee that this is add 7 words to existing statute, and on-campus room and board costs. That's all that this addresses. So whatever the meaning of that is, I'm content and satisfied with what it means and what it doesn't mean. What I'm interested in is trying to fulfill a benefit primarily for National Guard and active duty military who give their life to this country when we are at war, and that we satisfy the intent of providing an education for them by adding these 7 words and on-campus room and board costs. I don't care to take issue with the balance of the language in the statute.
Well, I'm sorry, but the bill is the entire bill, and not the bill is not a line. It's not 8 words. The bill before us is House Bill 42. And it has to include, I'm trying to make sure that I know exactly what your intent is. When you add a line that increases the benefits for a group, which increase the benefits by $10,000 per person, I think it's a great idea. But I want to make sure that I know what you intended in this bill. And you intended to follow the existing language. Has the existing language been used by individuals in the past? And if so, did they qualify without, did some people qualify and others not?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, I don't have an opinion about lines 13 and 14, or line 1 or line 2 on page 2. I have an opinion about the 7 words I want to insert on line 7 of section 1.
I have another question.
Quick follow-up?
It's a quick follow-up, but it also goes to line 2 on page 2. Again, is it necessary? And because this is the place where we delete and add language. Is it necessary to address volunteer as separate from any other firefighter?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, I don't have an opinion about that. I simply want to fulfill the promise of the benefit to primarily active duty military and National Guardsmen, which is the concern that I have. And I'm just not prepared today to have a debate about the merits of who this goes to. I'm trying to speak on behalf of 3,800 deployed soldiers from the Stryker Brigade who are in harm's way every single day. And I simply don't have an opinion, but I would encourage you as a committee member of the Education Committee to have an opinion and to use the committee's time to address it. I don't have an opinion about it. My opinion is the 7 words on line 7, page 1.
And then as chair would recognize, too, that this is already in statute. You know, the majority of this is already in statute. This just adds those words. Representative Thomas was first, and Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just more of a comment. Representative Ramos, one of the guardsmen who died in Iraq had a fiance, and he was going to get married when he came home. I guess she was called more of a significant other, and he had 2 children with a previous wife. In talking with the guard, neither one of the significant other or the divorcee are entitled to any benefits. And I know it's stretching it to try to get it to a significant other, but I imagine several of our young men leave home and engage, or what you call them, person they're engaged to. What do you call it?
Fiance,
yeah. And so.
That's not what you call it.
So if. Pass. I was just, what do you do? And right. Like, can you do anything, or should we just say, oh, just gloss it over? And
through the chair, Representative Thomas, I don't think that this bill extends to promises or the intent of marriage or fiancés. I think this is a very appropriately and very narrowly defined to extend to dependents of military. And I'm also concerned about this fiscal note that's attached to it because I don't want to see what I consider to be a very cynical fiscal note disturb what ought to be an important benefit that we provide for dependents of Alaskans who give their life to this country. And I'm reluctant to try to expand this.
Representative Thomas, quick follow-up. And Representative Wilson.
No problem with the fiscal note. I think anybody that dies in the line of any duty, saving my butt or anybody else's, deserves everything they get. But I still am sympathetic to the significant other, and I don't know how you're going to, maybe we'd want to handle it, don't know how to handle it, but anyway, my sympathies to them. I think they were looking for a long life together, which was all said and shortened, so maybe we'll figure out how to do it when it gets to Pecos Committee if he goes there.
Representative Wilson?
Thank you.
I just want to make a comment, too, also on this, is that when something like this happens, when there's a death of a spouse, and the you know, for whatever reason you find yourself alone with children and you're trying to provide, you know, an education, a living, and plus an education for them, on-campus room and board costs would help tremendously. And I think this is wonderful because it may make the difference, especially if they don't live in the town where the university's at. This would make, probably, even though they could have a free education, this would make a difference whether some of them would still be able to go or not. So I like this bill, and if you're ready for a motion, I'm ready to make one.
Ditto.
Representative Garrett, did you have a question?
Question and a comment, sure. In response to Representative Thomas's point, I think probably the way to solve the problem of non-family members would be what we discussed before, which is having a needs-based financial aid system available to everybody who wants to go to college or get vocational ed who can't. So, and I guess the question to the sponsor is this. I'm supportive of extending this benefit to surviving children and spouses of people who die in the line of duty. But tell me what I say to the child of a nurse who was killed by a drunk driver on the way home, and the drunk driver had no insurance, so the child is left with no money. Why that child shouldn't get the same benefit, or why the child of a doctor who was killed at work, maybe providing free medical services, or the child of a search and rescue pilot who was out trying to help somebody who died during the search and rescue flight, why they shouldn't receive a similar benefit. What do we say to them?
Representative Ramirez, if you want to answer that question, that's fine, but that's not germane to the topic of what you're trying to get at, so I'll leave that one up to you.
I appreciate that. Through the chair, Representative Guerra, it's not germane to the nature of this bill. This bill is about well over 4,000 American and Alaskan soldiers who are presently deployed to Iraq who are putting themselves in the harm's way every day right now as we speak. That's all that this does, and I don't want to see it get burdened or distracted by a lot of other issues. I want to pay great deference to those troops because we're really talking about a death benefit here, and I'm uncomfortable even to have the dialogue because we shouldn't lose one more American or Alaskan over in that war, and yet there is an inevitability to it. I will tell you factually that in speaking to a representative from Don Young's office, that they estimate that the casualty rate in Iraq is between 3% and 6%, and because of the nature of the Stryker Brigade mission, they think that we will be on the higher range of that casualty rate. 6% of 4,000 plus troops is 240 men and women that will be wounded or killed in action in a narrow period. So I don't really care to debate the universe of risk that we all take in trying to do good in our community. I'm particularly interested in the exposure to harm and loss of life that faces our brave men and women in the military right now. We have had over 80 wounded people at Fort Wainwright since the deployment last August, and we have had now, I've been to two funeral services. We've had three more that died last week, four National Guards people. This is a very serious issue, and I appreciate your concerns, but I just don't wish to sully the intent of this, which is to concentrate on providing a death benefit for dependents, with all due respect.
Representative Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we go through the process of this bill, I don't want to see it wandering off into areas of significant others and so on. It seems to me that there are significant others, and then there are legal significant others. I have legal significant other, be 53 years coming up, and she's a legal significant other because we have a marriage between one man and one woman. That's the significant other that ought to count if it's a legally recognized relationship. I don't want to go wandering off on these bird walks and other places.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Bill number 412, version G, out of committee with individual recommendations and fiscal notes.
Hearing and seeing no objection, this bill passes out of committee at this time.
Amen.
Today's meeting.